Will your property appraise, and should you care? That's today's episode. Let's dive into it. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
Longtime real estate investors, and this is the show where we help you build financial intelligence, make a change in your life. If you want to escape the rat race and actually get your finances in order and start to build actual wealth, then this is the channel for you.
Now, this is it.
So we want to have a frank discussion today. Is Frank here, by the way?
No.
Get Frank in here. We want to have a frank discussion about the appraisal process. And will your property appraise? It's a question that we get an awful lot.
Yeah.
And people, you know, if they're off on their own doing their own thing, working on buying their first property, they're worried about whether or not this property will appraise. Why?
For a couple of reasons, right? A lot of times we teach you about unconventional financing. You want to get into a property. You found a great deal. Maybe you use Fund and Grow. Maybe you use plastic with some credit card balance that you haven't been using before, right? There are all kinds of ways that we've taught you to think about getting into a property that are sort of short-term measures so that, oh my gosh, you own a property. Now you have rent roll, which is wonderful, right? But then now most of these people are thinking, okay, but I have to get into a long-term solution, some kind of longer-term mortgage that it's at a better interest rate, right? It's
not right, because maybe you got into it at like you're using hard money or something. You got in there at like 12% interest and you want to get into like a 30-year mortgage that's going to last for a long time at like a 5% interest, right?
Right. And so, okay, let's go through an example like this. Let's say you found an awesome off-market property for $50,000 and it's cash flowing, but you had sort of an unfavorable terms like 12% with a hard money lender. Okay.
Okay.
And so you need to get out of that. And you have 6 to 12 months in order to do that. So then you start to shop around for lenders. We've talked many times on this channel about how to do this. We have giveaways, lender comparison worksheets. We can put that below. So now you found a lender that you want to work with and they'll say, awesome. Now we have to make sure the property appraises. So this is something you should have already expected because you know, when you go through the loan process, you're going to have to get an appraisal.
Right. So what's the problem with the appraisal process? So let's be frank about this process. There was an article, I think about a year and a half ago to 2 years ago that I like to reference. I think it was in the Atlantic.
Let's be positive though.
Okay. I am being positive.
Okay. I know where he's going. I know.
I'm
going
to be positive about it.
I can see the run up, but okay.
But ask any long-term real estate investor or realtor, battling up against appraisals is a huge problem right now, especially in the past 10, 11 years since we've gone through the housing crash and collapse. So this article a few years ago called Parents Don't Let Their Kids Grow Up to Be Appraisers. And the premise of the article is that appraisers are being replaced by computers. And no young people are going into the appraisal field. No one's like, hey, when I grow up, I'm going to be an appraiser. That's the point of the piece, that a lot of large hedge funds, a lot of large real estate investment companies are just using electronic algorithms to get a general sense of value on properties that they purchase.
So the appraisal system is for the lender to have some kind of expert to say this property is worth X, right? So ideally, if you bought this property and it's worth $50,000 to you because you bought that, and the lender comes in and says, well, we think it's worth 40, right? Because the appraisers almost always lowball you. You have to kind of expect that. So then you know you can't get $50,000 back in a cash. The lender doesn't want to pay $50,000. The lender's not going to finance more than it thinks it's worth. The lender usually only finances about 80% of what it's worth.
Or 70%.
Right. So now the lender is saying, we will only finance 80% of 40,000. So now you're stuck with the balance of 15,000 or whatever.
So the bottom line is you need to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Right? Because what you're not buying something, you're not playing the appreciation game here on this property. If you're buying a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 property, and that appraiser comes in and is $5,000 less than you thought it was, or $10,000 less than you thought it was. Remember that appraisers right now, because they got so pinched because of the housing collapse, remember these appraisals back then, right? You'd buy a house for $200,000 and 3 months later, people were selling it for $230,000. And appraisers got blamed big time for what happened back then, for these overinflated appraisals. So now they've gone the opposite route.
Yeah.
They want to go well below what they think it's worth. They're not even pulling a lot of renovated comparables in neighborhoods. They're using like foreclosed properties or ones that still need work as comparables. We've gone through a number of appraisals where we've seen this. We've seen their comparables that they present, And they're using houses that haven't even been renovated as comparable properties. Now, that's not me to like crap on appraisers here, but the bottom line is they're being extra conservative, extra cautious, and they're going the opposite direction. So bottom line is you need to be okay with having to come to the table with that remaining balance because it's a cash flowing property. Today's episode is brought to you by Clear. Oh, it's summer travel season. So you know how annoying it is to go to the airport and have to deal with those long lines and you're all stressed. And you're dealing with your family running around. Am I going to make it? Oh my gosh, do I have my ID cards on me? Do I have all this stuff in my pocket? I just traveled this week and I was stressed because I had a narrow window that I had to get in and get out for this interview. Had to go to another event and I didn't have much time. That's where Clear comes in. You never have to run to your gate again because you are your own ID. You don't have to worry about ID cards. Right. You don't have to worry about driver's licenses, any of that stuff. You become your own ID because it uses your eyes and your fingertips. And by the way, you are your best ID, right? You're better than a card. And so what's great is you can enroll online and you're going to get 2 free months right now just by using our coupon code investing. So go to clearme.com/investing. You're going to get 2 free months. So you set up your account online, and then you go to the airport to finish your enrollment. So you go up to one of the Clear kiosks and you'll see a Clear ambassador who's there and they'll help you finish the process doing the biometrics. It's super easy. And it was such a breeze and I'm super excited about it. And what's great for families too, if you're traveling with your family, up to 3 family members can be added at a discounted rate. And kids under 18 are free when traveling with a Clear member. So it makes oh man, just blowing through those lines. You've been, you know, Orlando or any of these other places where the lines are crazy. Tons of kids going to Disney World and other places. That's why you want Clear. It's the absolute best way to get through airport security. It works great with PreCheck too. So it works hand in hand with your TSA PreCheck. Right now, listeners of my show can get their first 2 months of Clear for free. Just give it a try. Go to clearme.com/investing and use that code investing. That's clearme.com/investing. Use that code investing for your 2 free months of Clear. Thanks, Clear, for saving me the headaches last week. I appreciate it.
Now, a lot of times, the reason why I'm okay with this, so we had one recently in a very similar situation that appraised for slightly less than I had bought it for, but I knew the return on investment on the cash I paid was still good. I knew that the lender was going to pay about $10,000 less. So I still would have to pay $10,000 to the first lender, right? The unfavorable loan in order to get into this other loan. But I knew that if I wanted this property, I was never going to get the new lender to finance the purchase just because they don't finance LLCs. They don't really do investment loans all that much. But if you own it, different story. A lender is going to say, oh, you own this already and you just want to refinance it? Absolutely, I want to make money on that. But am I going to let you purchase it? Much less likely, right? So I took unfavorable bank product A, got rid of it for favorable bank product B because interest rates are pretty good right now. And I knew that that extra $10,000 was just my skin in the game. So now I've got equity in this property and a favorable loan attached to it and cash flow. I'm good with that, right? If I had gone to Bank B originally and say, I want to buy it, I'll put $10,000 down and you do the remainder, they wouldn't have done it, right? This was sort of my interim step. Now, if you're fighting appraisals, though, the problem is you can say, well, I don't agree with your appraisal, so I push back. A lot of times you can send them comps you think that they did not consider sometimes.
And they throw them right in the trash, by the way.
Yeah, sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't. In fact, I've seen it not work more often than I've seen it worked. Or you can say, well, okay, forget this bank. I'm going to go with another bank. The problem is you pay for these appraisals. And they cost around $500 each. So that's an expensive game to play.
Right. So again, you have to be okay with your purchase. I was talking to an investor today about this very thing. And he said, look, if you do what we do, we are entrepreneurs. Appraisers are not entrepreneurs.
No,
they're not.
They're not.
So you as an entrepreneur are buying a property that is going to be held by you probably for the rest of your life. You're going to hand it down to your family. It's going to produce cash flow at a return on investment that you are very comfortable with. So if it's producing 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12% return, Are you okay with the fact that an appraiser came in and gave you an unfavorable appraisal?
Right.
You bought it for 60. The guy comes in and appraises it for 45. Are you okay with that? And you also have to consider the fact that a lot of these appraisals are not looking at renovated properties. And yeah. So you have to remember that you're not playing the appreciation game here. But if you fully don't have the money to play this game, and you really want to try to create like an infinite return for yourself and pull all of your money back out eventually with appreciation and getting all of your money back out, then you should probably be paying more for a property. You're going to want to go into that retail comp area. Those are the neighborhoods where there's probably not a lot of rentals, much more of a retail play. You're going to spend more money on that property. You're going to probably be well into the mid 150s or up to 200,000 range, mm-hmm. where you're going to have more comparable retail sales that you're probably likely to get a more favorable appraisal.
Right.
But then again, your ROI is going to be much lower. So you have to be comfortable with this give and take.
So when people come to us and they say, oh, I like this property, I like the return on investment, I'm worried it won't appraise so that I can get my money back or, you know, pay whatever stopgap measure I have to get into it, we want to say to you, it probably won't. And so the difference between what it appraises for and what you bought it for is your skin in the game. It's your responsibility, just like it would be when you buy your primary house. The lender's not going to say, great, I finance 100%. Those days are over. Hopefully they never come back again. So that's your investment. That's your part. So hopefully, again, hopefully it adds up to between 15 and 25%. And then you're like, great, now I got a good product. I'm cash flowing. I'm rocking and rolling, right?
Right. And you also want to have a smart exit strategy. I mean, let's be honest. If you suddenly need to get out of these properties, are you comfortable being able to then turn around and maybe put it out with a realtor or maybe turn it and sell it to another investor that will see the value in this property? Because look, there is a dearth right now, that a lack of properties available in the affordable housing space. It's the number one investment strategy, I believe, right now. And so there's such a lack of properties in that price range. Are you comfortable getting out of that property quickly, selling it off to another investor if for some reason, God forbid, some tragedy befell your family that you needed to get out of it? What is your exit strategy? You want to make sure you know where the exits are in the movie theater and keeping an eye out for those things as you plan your investment strategy. Today's episode is brought to you by Vista Print. By the way, this is the only company I use to print business cards. Yes, when I started my business, when I was out wholesaling and doing door-to-door housing purchasing, I went to Vistaprint to buy my business cards because I wanted a professional look. And it was so affordable and they did such an amazing job and their website couldn't have been easier to upload my logo. If I didn't even have a logo, I could build one right on Vistaprint's website. That's how awesome they are. And your next big opportunity is coming right now and you want to have a proper business card. You want to be able to own the now and it's only $10 to get your business cards up and running. That's a low price to have the confidence that you're always ready to make an impression or get seen in a new way. A custom card with the colors, fonts, and designs and images that you choose means you can look and feel like a big deal, whether you're a startup or a business with a century of history behind you. And it doesn't have to be hard. You can upload your own design or start with one of their professionally designed options. Vistaprint offers simple tools and a wide range of templates to choose from. You pick the paper stock. You want it glossy? You want it matte finish? You pick the style and the quantity that's right for you. And then you choose the speed of delivery. You order and receive your cards in as few as 3 days. I couldn't believe it. Like I made my cards and they were at my house in a big box just a few days later. It's remarkable. Think about this in the 1980s. We'd never be doing this, right? Never. We're in a beautiful age. So Vistaprint only uses carefully selected inks and responsibly sourced paper. They have dozens of designs that are just right for your business. Your satisfaction, by the way, is 100% guaranteed, or they will make it right, either by reprinting your order or giving you a full refund. But get this, Vistaprint wants you to be able to own the now in any situation, which is why our listeners are going to get 500 high-quality custom business cards starting at $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com/investing. That's Vistaprint.com/investing. Vistaprint.com/investing to get your cards for just $9.99. Thanks, Vistaprint.
Now, I want to point out, I'm sensitive about how this comes off, but there is animosity between, this is a very generalized thing to say, but I'm going to say it, between appraisers and investors. Like, I don't think that they're simpatico.
No.
Now, remember, up until actually just 2018, it used to be that appraisers had to have a college degree or some form of college completed. That's not the case anymore. Now it's simply an apprenticeship and a license. They have to take a test and they have to have so many hours of an apprenticeship. And they go through all of this and they make between $25,000 and $60,000 on average. That's like the higher end. Now, maybe some in like inflated markets like New York City or the San Francisco Bay Area is a little bit more. But they're not making a ton in order to say, like, really become investors themselves. They understand that as an investor, they're messing with someone else's cash, right? They're not really motivated to give your house the benefit of the doubt. Was that sensitive? I feel like saying, like, they don't like you. I don't mean that. I just mean, like, they're not, by and large, on your side.
No. And look, again, I come back to what happened during the collapse and the crash is that everyone blamed them because they were just like working with realtors. They're like, oh, you want it to be $240,000? I'll kind of look the other way. And then this house that, again, was $200,000 4 months ago is now $240,000. So money, money, money. It was just like, you know, people didn't have to get didn't have to have a job to get a loan. So it became much more stringent after the crash. But at the end of the day, computers are replacing appraisers. I mean, here's a perfect example. We had a property. We bought it, I think, in the 60s, mm-hmm. okay, in this area that I knew. I have a couple of other properties in this neighborhood that are worth about, I know their worth is about 90. I'm not ever going to sell them, but that's what they're worth. We put about $10,000 into this property. We even spoke to the appraiser who was showing up to the property. And I said, she said, oh, what'd you do to the property? I'm like, we did new windows. We put in new mechanicals. I think we updated the cabinets. We did this, you know, whatever it was. But it was a good amount of stuff. And I said, yeah, I think we bought it, you know, 63 or 60,000 or something like that. It was a foreclosure or short sale or something. Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, great. And then the appraisal came in below what we bought it for.
I don't know which property you're talking about. I don't seem to remember this story.
It was in Michigan. It was like 5,000 below or 5 or 10,000 below what we paid for it.
Oh, okay. One of the newer ones.
One of the ones we were just doing the refi on. Yes. And we were pulling some money out of it. So we're like, okay, so then now the bank is going to give us like what, 70% loan to value. Mm-hmm. So of course we have our cash in the game. Our own money is in this property to a larger degree than what it should have been. But you have to be okay with that. And I'm okay with it because the cash flow is great and I'm going to hold it for the rest of my life. So as an entrepreneur, it's a long-term play that you have to think about long-term. An appraiser is living for today, okay? Actually, I would argue the appraiser is living for 4 months ago and not even looking at accurate comps of what is actually sold and rehabbed. So you as an entrepreneur are going into business, you're buying something for the long-term and you have to be okay with that when you play this game.
Right. Now, an appraiser is not to be confused with an inspector. These are two different. I wish that, you know, by industry standards, they were the same thing because you have to pay for both of these services a lot of times when you secure a loan. But that's a different thing beyond the scope of this program. So we'll get that to it. Get to that in another day.
Yeah. So inspectors, totally different than appraisers. Some people use those terms interchangeably. No, don't do that.
You need both. Yeah, if you're working with a lender.
All right, so I want to hear your appraiser stories. You can leave a comment in the thread below. If you're watching the video version of this, please leave a comment. Tell us your stories and how you've dealt with it. Do you care? Has it kept you from becoming a real estate investor? Please don't let it keep you from becoming a real estate investor. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor because I believe it's the number one way to build wealth, even if you get a bad appraisal. We'll see you next time.